parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
1890 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That will cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Time for parenting with David Carey. He joins us once again. Good afternoon, David. How are you?
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, 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 indeed. Now, first question is this. My husband and I are concerned about our eldest child. She's 6 years old. She's in senior infant. She's kind and outgoing, gets on well with her younger siblings. From very early on in junior infant, she made friends with two of the girls in her class. Throughout the year, she barely mentioned any of the other children. In the morning, when dropping her to school, she would not go in unless one of her two little friends were already there. And when leaving in the evening, she would make it her business to hug her two little buddies before coming home, while barely acknowledging her other classmates. I've become concerned that since she returned to school in September, her dependence on her two friends has deepened. At a birthday party recently of one of the other kids, the three girls did not play with anyone else, including the child whose birthday it was. It seems to me that the three is becoming a dangerous number. She often complains in the car journey home from school about her two buddies excluding her during playtime, bossing her about or keeping secrets from her. I've encouraged her to play with the other girls and boys in the class and explained that she ought to tell her teacher when she's upset. I'm not convinced this approach is having any effect. I spoke to her teacher a few weeks ago who shared my concerns. The teacher has started encouraging all the children to play with someone new from the class. The teacher also mentioned that in the 3 months that she's been teaching our daughter, she's been very shy with her and up until very recently made very little eye contact. This is not at all in keeping with the girl we know. No. Is there anything we can do to help our daughter?
Yes. Well, you need to talk to teacher again, and you need to let teacher know that just encouraging children to play with one another isn't sufficient. Mm. There needs to be hands-on approach. We can organize games through PE. We can organize activities through the HPHE curriculum. We can organize activities in the classroom. I'm talking about what can go on in the classroom now.
Yeah.
Through the drama curriculum, we have ample opportunities to help children who are a little bit shy come out of themselves. If you bring your child to a birthday party and she will only play with her two little friends and not anyone else at all, I would just question why you didn't intervene if you were there, or why another parent didn't intervene. You don't leave it and just hope it will emerge organically. She needs some help.
Yeah.
She needs a play partner. That, by that, I mean an adult to help mix her up with other children. This has to be a good part of the school day. There's so many opportunities in the primary school curriculum to help children with social difficulties. She sounds to me a little bit on the shy side. I'm not going to pathologize this. Mm. Shyness happens in a lot of children. I was incredibly shy myself as a child. And you need help from an adult. So let's get some hands on here. Let's quietly, gently lead her now a little bit. I usually say we follow children, but she's telling you where you need to lead her.
Mm.
She's shy. She probably doesn't have the skill of asking other children how to play with them. Can I join you? Can I play too? Mm. Sometimes children don't have those words.
Yeah.
We need to teach them. We need to prompt them. That is the power of the drama curriculum, which is so underutilized in primary school. It's an absolute shame, because it's a beautiful curriculum. I would encourage any teacher listening to read the bloody drama curriculum once and for all and start implementing it on a regular basis. It's often shunted aside as a special part of the day. This can be mixed up with PE, SPHE, and drama.
Yeah.
And there's your solution to almost all these in-school difficulties. Now, she's in senior infant. She's only six. Let's guide, follow, lead, guide, etc. Hands-on approach, gently, gently, and see what happens over the next year of her life.
My son just turned 19 and is in full-time level 3 education. The problem is he has just come home to live with me and his mother after spending 6 years in boarding school. His father at every opportunity ranted on and on about me being a terrible person mother, and he generally took out his aggression and frustration on my son. Now my son blames me and he says he hates me. I had a nervous breakdown just when he was going into boarding school. I'm very well now, but when I wasn't well, my son was embarrassed by me, he said. I don't know what to do. He's waiting to go to counselling in college, but at the moment, we are just ships in the night. I'm worried he may be depressed.
Well, if he's saying he hates you and he's living in your home, throw him out. Get him out of there. No 19-year-old should tell their parents they hate them and then be allowed all the privileges of living at home. I would imagine this woman is cooking meals for him, doing his laundry, cleaning up after him, basically performing perhaps as a scullery maid. Time for a wake-up call for the 19-year-old. He's grown up now. Mm. Unfortunately, the father poisoned him. So shame on the father, whoever you're out there, you are out there if you're listening. Shame on you. Damage has been done. He needs some counseling. Good that he's going to get it.
Yeah.
But I certainly, as an adult, would not live in an environment, a family home, where my adult child was so eager to tell me they hate me. I'd be saying, go up, pack, goodbye. Go live with your father.
There's a huge mountain of guilt, though, here I'm getting. The poor mother, she did have a nervous breakdown.
Yeah,
he was at boarding school. She maybe couldn't cope at the time, and now she feels terrible about it.
Yeah, this is clearly there. She's a vulnerable woman who has done her best to rebuild her life. And the problem is that incidents like this of having your loved one tell you they hate you can set this woman back horribly.
Mm.
And she's saying here, I'm getting depressed again. She's worried.
She's saying maybe he depressed.
Look, that's irrelevant.
Yeah.
He tells you he hates you. He's 19. He doesn't belong in the home. If he hates you, he must love the privileges and benefits he's getting to be there. So I'd be very hardline on these kinds of things, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Time to say goodbye to this young fellow. Go live with your dad. You hate me? Go see if the grass is a little greener. When you stop hating me, you're welcome back, sonny boy.
Yeah.
Love you. Bye.
Does that work, though? Because it sounds like a risky thing to do.
Well, what's going to happen to this boy? He's 19. Is he going to die?
No. I know. I mean risky. Risky as a in terms of the relationship between the mother and the son. He mightn't come back.
What relationship is there? He says he hates her.
Mm.
He treats her with disrespect. That's not a relationship. It's not a healthy one anyway, is it?
Yeah.
No, I stand by my advice.
My 8-year-old son was diagnosed with epilepsy in August. He is the oldest of 3 boys. His teacher has noticed his concentration is not great and has noticed a substantial difference in him at school. He zones out a lot now after starting on anti-seizure medication. She says he's a bright boy and isn't falling behind, but of course we are worried as he has gone from top of the class at math to bottom. He seems to lose focus in the middle of giving answers or writing sentences. He's now started a second lot of medications, of which lack of concentration is a side effect. The school said to focus on his health and that second class is not the most important year academically. I also understand that he's only 8, plus we aren't a family that puts a lot of emphasis on top marks, but naturally I'm concerned. We have explained to him that while we sort out his meds that all is okay and we try to reassure him. I just want your advice on how to deal with it, as he's a sensitive boy and really wants to be the best at everything and sometimes takes it hard when he isn't at the top of the class.
Well, we can't all be at the top of the class, and if he sometimes, I'm emphasizing sometimes, takes it hard, just let him take it hard and he'll get over it. Now, he has a medical condition that is quite significant.
Mm.
He's being medicated for it. The medications are causing attention and concentration deficits. Therefore, he is eligible for special education services. And at the very least right now, what needs to be done in January, as soon as school commences again, is the writing of a plan. I've outlined this numerous times. I think we've even highlighted it on the website here, Section 2403, Circular 2403, Staged Approach to Education. Teacher and parents work together collaboratively to write an intervention plan in the classroom, in the mainstream classroom.
Yeah.
And we try to help this boy. We implement strategies of all kinds to help with attention and concentration deficits. We work on it over 2 full school terms and we review it. So that is what needs to happen.
Mm. Okay. And it is really as simple as that, isn't it?
Well, it's as simple as writing the plan, which a lot of people don't even know exists because it's yet another circular with lots of guidelines. And as is typical in Irish education, particularly at primary level and secondary level, there's no real rules that we have to do anything. Mm. There's just a set of guidelines. So you do it or you don't. And if you don't know what the guideline is, then you can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what should happen in school. I think also your questions, and it's very important. I'm sure you have a pediatric neurologist and or a pediatrician involved in this boy's health care. You really must communicate with them what's going on at school. It may be possible for them to adjust and fine-tune the medication.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't rule out the medical experts in the overall equation of helping this young fellow. Feed them the information they need. They're very often operating on the outside within the purview of very strict medical regimens, et cetera. If they don't know, there's nothing they can do about it. If they know, there may be something they can do about it.
Yeah. Just going back to the 19-year-old who's now going to college, back from boarding school, living with his mother for the first time, it seems, in many years, and he says he hates her. One texter says, I had this relationship with my daughter after my wife and I split. I found that time, being there when she needed it and letting her hate me for a while, worked. As she got older, she realised that what she had been told about me wasn't all true, and we now have a solid enough relationship. More than I could have hoped for 7 years ago anyway. Another texter says, that's hurt talking. I assume that you mean that the son saying, I hate you. He probably felt rejected once and had to throw him out would be like rejection again. He may be emotionally immature.
I'm not impressed.
Okay, you're a hard man today.
I'm a hard man today, yep.
We need your advice on how to deal with what seems to be a compulsive disorder that our 14-year-old son has developed. He's constantly, consciously, and it seems unconsciously, twirling his hair, which leads to him pulling it out. It has got to the point where he has now developed bald patches. We have tried talking to him calmly and constructively about the damage he is doing and the long-lasting permanent effects it's having. We've tried to get him to tell us why he does it, but says he doesn't know why. We don't believe he is pulling his hair out purposely. It's a byproduct of the constant twirling. He promises he will stop, but obviously being a compulsion, if that's what it is, he can't. We have told him that he had to cut his hair, as is the only way he will be able to not do any more damage. However, as you know, hairstyle is everything when you're 14, so there's a huge argument when cutting his hair is brought up. We really don't know what to do. Should we bring him to the GP, a counsellor, a psychiatrist? Your advice would be hugely welcome. Is this trichotillomania?
This is trichotillomania, the compulsion to pull out patches of hair. It's head hair, it can be body hair, it can be pubic hair. In severe cases, it's saved. In even more severe cases, it's eaten. And, that's pretty despicable to even think about, which can cause huge knock-on intestinal problems. You need a referral to probably a psychologist, or you have to find someone who's knowledgeable about the condition and knows the various treatment interventions that are used for it, because it is a treatable condition. This is something he can't control right now. No point in telling him you're going to cut his hair, because that isn't going to solve the problem. He'll just move to eyebrows or eyelashes. So don't go down that road. I think you best contact the GP if you want a referral to the public service. You'll be waiting a hell of a long time. Mm. This is not a priority condition, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So you may have to seek help privately. But just to question the practitioner you're seeking as to whether they know about trichotillomania and do they know what the treatment options are. And if you get an answer yes, just ask them a little more in-depth question. What are the treatment options? You can find this information on Google, by the way, obviously. So that's how to go forward here. It's treatable, may be difficult, may take a while, but let's move in on it, because he can't control it. It's not his fault. It isn't, although it's maybe conscious, it's not deliberate. People don't decide, today I'm going to start twisting and pulling my hair out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a self-soothing mechanism. So there is probably anxiety and stress driving this condition. So the best treatment option is a good clinical practitioner in psychotherapy or psychology.
Would they go to the GP first for a referral?
But GP, most likely or not, is going to refer you to the community services.
Anyway.
Where you're going to... No harm in doing that, by the way, because a GP is often in a good position to have a chat with the 14-year-old without mom or dad present and talk about it. You know how children are. They sometimes listen to someone who isn't their parent. Sometimes, yeah.
I never met one of them. All right, we do have to take a commercial break, back in a couple of minutes. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. Just a little bit of breaking news. As you may be aware, the Eighth Amendment Committee were due to vote this afternoon. They have just taken that vote. They voted 14-6 with one abstention in favour of the repeal of the Eighth Amendment. That means just no substitute text. Essentially, there should be a vote on whether the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution remains in the Constitution or not. So they want. So they voted at least to repeal, not replace. Now, they will be dealing with a whole series of other policy decisions surrounding circumstances in which abortion should be available, terms, all that kind of stuff. And we'll keep you posted with that if we hear any more about that when we're on air. David Carey, though, is still with us. Next question for you, David, is this. I have a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old. My 2-year-old loves his dad and loves spending time with him. If he's sick or wakes during the night, it's usually daddy he wants rather than me. That said, he definitely plays up on his dad more and can get away with a bit more. They were always very close to the point that I had to remind my husband to take one on one time with the baby. Recently, however, when my husband comes in from work, our son starts moaning. He gets strappy, flinging his dinner off the table and generally being a little tyrant. He will still play somewhat with his dad, but generally it's a very unenjoyable experience for everyone, with tantrum after tantrum. This doesn't happen if dad is working late. I've told my husband that it's a phase, that he's too young to regulate his emotions, and it's actually excitement that's making him do it. I've also blamed teething, short naps, colds and hunger. I'm running out of excuses and I can see my husband is starting to feel rejected over it. He does this sometimes in other situations too. He will walk and talk about his grandparents or cousins and ask to see them, but when he visits, he gets excited going in the door and then he starts to cry and gets stroppy. Any ideas or advice would be greatly appreciated.
I wonder what's happening when he does all this crying and getting stroppy, if the parents and grandparents aren't running around trying to soothe and comfort him, and he's getting a lot of immediate reinforcement for rather useless behavior. Now, he's only 2, and you're dead right. He can't self-regulate. Dad, if you happen to be listening, please don't take it personally. This is a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
He's not rejecting you. So I think what needs to be done is Dad needs to take him out and play with him and do some things with him. If he cries and carries on at the start or throughout the whole experience, so be it. You're a parent. Your job is to do the best you can to love your children and nurture them and take care of their emotional needs. Who knows what's going on in a 2-year-old mind? You have no way of knowing. Self-regulation, of course, is a huge problem at age 2. So let's not make a big deal out of this. I think daddy needs to step back into the picture a little bit more. Mom needs to step out of it. Let daddy do some of the nappy changing, some of the bedtime stuff. The little boy may reject it first, but I bet he'll come around after a while.
Yeah, so, I personally think, having, I was going to say ownership of a 2-year-old, or a 2-year-old having ownership of me.
Thank you. That's much better. Yeah.
The tantrum is just part of their repertoire of how they express themselves.
Absolutely.
And it can just mean no, or look at me.
Or
now it goes through your head that when the screeching starts.
It's awful.
God, it's awful.
Particularly if it happens in public.
Yeah. And she does the thing in the middle of the night, you know, daddy, daddy. You go in and then. You know, give me something. Pick me up. No. Mommy, mommy. He's just done the most horrible thing to me. I'll be telling David Carey about this in a few years' time. And they play you like a piano. They
absolutely.
Really,
yes, of course. So you're like a guitar. They're strumming you and making beautiful music.
Yes.
And what you said is dead right. This business of self-regulation is extremely important for all of us, even adults.
Mm.
And at 2 years of age, the brain system is responsible for thinking, postponing gratification, and dealing with impulses aren't mature at all. They're just not working. They're gone. Those neurons haven't even grown together yet.
Mm.
That takes a while.
Yeah.
Usually another year and a half, and we're pretty fine. There are delays, of course, and differences. So you're going to have to wait it out. Most important for father, though, and our moms, and whenever this happens, don't personalize it. Because if you do, that is definitely going to interfere in some way with your relationship with the child.
Yeah.
And the child will pick that up very quickly.
Mm.
So I think that, you know, there's a whole lot of possible reasons to explain this behavior. But really what we need is fewer reasons and more interventions. Dad, step in a little bit more. Mom, step out once in a while.
Yeah. Just going back to the young fella who's doing damage to his own hair and his scalp. Someone says, I had trichotillomania as a teen. I never knew what it was, but knew it was study stress. Eventually, I stopped it by wearing gloves and hats while I was studying and asking everybody to tell me to stop when they saw me doing it. Eventually, after I finished my leaving, very coinciding with all that, my hair grew back and it stopped. Isn't that interesting? But then again, you know, I suppose that was a rare occasion where that person seemed to cure themselves.
Yeah. That doesn't happen very often, but a good methodology. The problem is, as a 14-year-old boy, you're not going to wear gloves in your bedroom at night.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's going to unconsciously or consciously do it.
Yeah.
Now, the fact that Mother said, or whoever wrote in, said that he's consciously doing it sometimes bodes for better treatment interventions. It's when they're doing it unconsciously, just automatically, and don't even know that they're doing it, that you have a more difficult time. Where there's conscious awareness of hair twirling or hair pulling, you could deal with it much easier clinically.
Yeah. And somebody else has texted in to say, I texted you 6 weeks ago prior to having a baby, too worried about how my 2.5-year-old would cope. You told me to text back with an update. Polly is thrilled with baby Alfie. She had a few moments with mommy and daddy, but I have said that we are all a team 475,000 times. So I think she's getting the idea. I love you, David. a happy Christmas from Laura, Polly and Alfie in Cork.
I remember Polly, actually, just because it's a rather unusual name. So thank you, Laura.
Yeah.
And have a very happy Christmas.
Yeah, and it's great to hear when that works out. Okay, final question. My almost 3-year-old son hits the sides of his head with both his hands when he's excited or angry. He hits it about 4 times. He looks hard to me, but doesn't bother him too much, although he has hurt himself once before. He's been doing it for about a year now. Is it something to get checked out?
No, I wouldn't get it checked out. This is self-regulation yet again. He's frustrated, angry, or emotionally upset, hits his head. Give him something to hit instead and explain to him, because he's almost 3. No, we don't hit our head. We hit our little, whatever it might be, soft cushion or cuddle toy or something like that. Because hitting your head is not a good thing. It will damage his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to stop that behavior. Eventually it'll go away, I suspect.
Yeah.
Self-regulation.
I have 18-month-old twins, a boy and a girl. The boy keeps pulling his hair and she gets hysterical. He seems to do it for attention and to get a reaction off us. We're at our wits' end with it. We have tried to ignore it, but he continues with it. If we give out to him or put it in the playpen for doing it, when he gets out, he does it again. When he is not doing it, they play together no problem. How do we get through to him?
Well, you must intervene very quickly. He's hurting his little sister by pulling her hair. Now, they're only 18 months. That's when you say a sharp no, and you remove him away from his sister. And let him come back. If it happens again, no, we don't pull hair. Remove from little sister. Over and over and over again, behaviorally, he'll become very accustomed to what's going to happen. That's cause and effect.
Yeah.
And the problem will go away.
Yeah.
You don't need help with this.
Yeah, it just has to be repetition, like most of these things, unfortunately. David, thank you very much for coming into us today. And just so people know, David's off to visit his own extremely well-adjusted children back home. So he'll be in with us again in January. So, David, you're the first person I've said this to, but happy Christmas.
And same to you, Sean.
And we look forward to seeing you in the new year. We're going to take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. Fiverriversfostering.ie.